All right. Well, good afternoon, ladies. It is a joy to be with you all today. It's amazing today. I love the setup. Just a big thanks, round of applause to everybody who worked so hard. This event in particular is actually very special to me because 2 years ago, this was the very first event. The Ladies' Christmas event was the very first event that I ever attended with Christ Proclamation, and I did not know anyone. And so I came in, grabbed some food, sat at a random table next to Rachel Carollo, and was just welcomed and loved on. So if you are here today, and like me, you don't know anybody, please know that we are very happy you're here, and welcome. So as what's been said, today we're going to be talking about timing. And I'm sure we've all heard stories where timing was everything. There's a reason that's even a saying, right? How sometimes the right moment, or even just the smallest change in decision, can make all the difference. And I'd like to tell you a story that illustrates this very idea. In September of 2019, there was an off-duty police officer in Georgia who was driving home. Suddenly, he realized that he had missed his turn. A small, ordinary detail that we've all probably done at some point. He was frustrated, but thankfully he could take a different road home. A few minutes later, he came upon a curve in the road and noticed something bizarre. There were some tracks that led to ripples in a nearby pond off the side of the road. At first, he couldn't really tell what he was looking at, but then he spotted the roof of an SUV sinking beneath the water. Inside, there was a mother and her baby, trapped, panicking, and running out of time. He pulled his car over and raced into the water without hesitation. The vehicle was already almost fully submerged. He tried the door handles, but they were either locked or stuck. The windows wouldn't budge, and with only seconds left, he used his arm to punch through the window underwater. This shattered the glass, allowing him to reach inside and pull out the infant first, then the mother, just as the SUV slipped below the surface of the pond. Later, when reporters asked him how he ended up at that exact spot, at that exact moment, he said, "The only reason I was there at all was because I missed my turn." So a missed turn led us to a moment of perfect timing that saved two lives. It's stories like this that remind us how important timing can be. I'm sure you can think of several scenarios or events where timing is important. If you're having a baby, you gotta make sure you get to the hospital at the right time. If you're trying to catch a plane, I think we all know you have to have your timing right. Or maybe you have examples of missed timing where you missed that flight because you weren't on time. Or where you burnt your dinner because you checked it just a minute too late. So as I said before, we've all heard stories like this, where one small delay or one small shift would have changed everything. And there are moments in life that only work when they happen at exactly the right time. 1 minute earlier, and the opportunity is missed. 1 minute later, and the rescue never comes. The same idea of timing being everything also applies to the Christmas story, but it's much deeper. In our everyday human stories, timing can often feel like a chance, a misturn, an unexpected delay, a sudden impulse. But in the story of Jesus' birth, there were no accidents, no coincidences, no last-minute changes of direction. The timing of Christ's coming was perfectly planned. The Bible tells us that God orchestrated every detail of this moment from the beginning of history. So when Paul says in Galatians 4 that Jesus came in the fullness of time, he means this was the exact moment God had prepared and divinely chosen. The Christmas story, as we heard earlier, is one where we see how God sent his son, Jesus, to be born as a baby to Mary and Joseph. This baby Jesus came into the world at just the right time, in just the right way, for just the right purpose. So let me read Galatians 4, 4 to 7 that I referenced before. It says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." See, Jesus came not a day early or a second late. And I just want to give a little context to why this was the perfect time for Jesus to come. Looking at Galatians 4. See, in the Bible, we have the Old Testament and the New Testament. Both are vital and important. Galatians, that I read, is in the New Testament. So we want to go back a little bit into the Old Testament to understand why this was the fullness of time. Why was this the moment that God had chosen? And he tells us in his word. See, God didn't just wake up one day and say, "Yep, this feels like the right time." Nothing about that describes our God. For he does all things well and all things intentionally. In the verse we read, this phrase, fullness of time, is used to show us that every part of redemptive history, every promise from God, every event, every moment in God's sovereign plan had been orchestrated for the exact arrival time of Jesus. So let's unpack it a little bit. From the beginning, the Lord prepared the timing of the coming of Jesus. The very first book of the Bible in the Old Testament is the book of Genesis. In Genesis 3:15, after the fall of man into sin, God promises an offspring who would crush the serpent. The rest of Scripture then unfolds that very promise. In Genesis 12:17, we see that through Abraham's offspring, God promises land, a people, and blessing. That promised offspring is fulfilled through the coming of Jesus. Moving forward a little bit in the Old Testament to 2 Samuel 7, God promises a forever king on David's throne. Jesus is that forever king. Then all throughout the prophetic books, moving a little further in the Old Testament, books like Isaiah and Micah, there are promises of a virgin who will give birth to a baby born in Bethlehem, and how he will be the suffering servant who will bear the sins of the world. It was at this specific point in time, at Jesus' birth, when all of these promises aligned. Jesus was from the right family line. He was born in the right place with the right circumstances and just the right setting. So from the beginning, we see from the Old Testament that the world was waiting for the coming Messiah, wondering when he would come. The Lord reveals to us in Scripture that he had a divine plan from the beginning for Jesus to come into the world at just this specific time. Furthermore, Paul's phrase, the fullness of time, also refers to the unique historical context happening at the time. Jesus arrived when Roman roads made travel easy, when a common language was established in the empire, and when people were seeking hope beyond their religions. It was at this time that Israel was under Roman oppression, longing to be delivered. It was into that moment that God provided the true deliverer, Jesus. So the world was perfectly positioned to see that salvation must come from God alone. So the incarnation of Jesus, or him coming as a baby, was not the backup plan. It was the moment that the entire Bible, all of history, had been progressing toward since Genesis 3. It is all in the perfect fullness of God's time. God's timing was perfect then, and it's perfect now. In our waiting, in our daily lives, and in the promise that Jesus will come again at just the right time to bring us into eternity with him. As John Piper puts it, the time leading up to Christ was the most suitable, appropriate, and effective way to prepare the world for the gospel. So yes, trust that God's timing is perfect. But that doesn't mean it's always easy. Think back to the story I told you at the beginning. The police officer was frustrated about missing his turn. Excuse me. Yet, it became the perfect timing for the rescue. Think about Mary, having to flee and then be turned away by innkeepers in the middle of labor. As I look at my own life, it can be easy sometimes to look back and see that the Lord's timing is perfect. It's not so easy when you're in the moment. God saw fit for just the right time for me to come into the world. In his own perfect timing, at the age of 14, he allowed my heart to be softened to the gospel. He perfectly placed people in my life at just the right time who helped me see the hardships I had faced up to that point in a whole different light. People who taught me the gospel, not just with their words, but with a life lived out in obedience to the gospel. He allowed my heart to be changed by the truth of the gospel in his timing, not mine or my mom's or anybody else who was praying for me, for that matter. But life on this side of Christianity is not any easier, and the Lord's timing is not always what I think it should be. It didn't feel like God's timing was perfect when I was 23 and longing for a husband and to be married, but still remaining single. It didn't feel like his timing was perfect when I lost my first baby after only 3 months of marriage, which led us then into 4 years of trying to have a baby. I didn't like that timing. His timing, once again, did not feel perfect when I lost my second baby just a couple months ago. And even now, my husband and I are waiting on the Lord's perfect timing for us to go overseas as missionaries in order to bring the gospel to the nations. I don't know when or if the Lord will use us in that capacity, but I trust in his will, his way, and his timing. See, the hope that we cling to in waiting on the perfect timing of the Lord should not be the thing itself. The hope that I clung to during infertility was not that I was going to get pregnant. I'm not promised that. That I hope that I clung to during singleness was not that I was going to get married. I'm not promised that. No, the hope, the cure, the comfort for everything that we face in this life is Jesus. And he promises that if we place our trust in him, we will have eternal life and a hope beyond the circumstances of this world. J.I. Packer says, the Christmas message is that there is hope for a ruined humanity. Hope of pardon. Hope of glory. Hope of peace with God. Because at the Father's will, Jesus Christ became poor and was born in a stable so that 30 years later, he might hang on a cross. In the perfect, miraculous timing of the Lord, Jesus came into the world, making that moment the exact time when humans were given hope for the new life through covenant union with him. Another author puts it this way: he came not only to free us from sin, but to invite us into his family. His arrival made it possible for slaves to become sons, debtors to become heirs, the lonely to be placed in families. His birth, death, and resurrection showed the world a love it had never seen before and invited alienated sinners into a spirit-formed community marked by a love that would never fail. So what does Jesus' birth at just the right time mean for us? Well, if you're in this room and you haven't put your faith in the Lord for ultimate salvation, then my encouragement to you would be to respond now. Jesus came as a baby, lived a sinless life, yet took the punishment for your sin. Dying on a cross, then he arose victorious from the grave 3 days later that you might have eternal life through him. He tells us in Mark 1:15, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So today, friend, is the day that the Lord is telling you to repent and believe. I would invite you to trust in him today. Talk to the person who brought you. Grab somebody in this room. Come talk to me. But don't miss the opportunity to respond to Jesus. And if you're in this room and you are a follower of Christ, well, praise God. Live your life in light of eternity, trusting the exact timing of the Father. The last point that I want to talk about is that God had foreordained the perfect timing of Jesus coming to earth as a baby. And he's coming again. In his first coming, Jesus was the humble, suffering servant. But in his second coming, Jesus will be the conquering king. In his first coming, Jesus arrived in the most humble of circumstances. But in his second coming, Jesus will arrive with the armies of heaven at his side. His timing was perfect then, and his timing will be perfect when he comes again. We saw earlier that every promise, every prophecy about Jesus' birth was fulfilled exactly as God said. So since God fulfilled every promise about Jesus' first coming, we can trust he will fulfill every promise about his second coming. This is one of the strongest assurances that those who put their trust in Christ get to hold on to. Paul's phrase still applies here, and that the second coming of Jesus will happen in the fullness of time. He will return not a day early or a second late. 2 Peter 3:9 says, The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. We don't know the time when the Lord will come, but I can assure you, it is certain and perfectly timed in God's eternal plan. Jesus gives us a promise himself from Revelation 22:7, which says, "And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." Jesus uses this word soon purposefully. He's telling us that the Father has prepared an exact moment where the fullness of time will arrive and Jesus will come again. So Christmas reminds us of both comings and how they are perfectly timed by the Lord. Jesus' first coming gives us a certainty of a Savior who has come for us. His second coming gives us hope. The manger reminds us that God always keeps his promises in his good timing and way. So this Christmas season, recall to mind the perfect timing of Jesus' birth and live knowing that at just the right time, he will come again. So live ready. Will you pray with me? Father, we just praise you that you are sovereign and good, that you are over all, in all, and through all. Lord, I thank you for your divine plan in bringing Jesus into this world that we might have through salvation through him. Lord, it's my prayer that we would run to you wholeheartedly. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.